Appreciate our sound man. They helped me tremendously. 1 Corinthians. My mind was on the sound, not on my text. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last Wednesday night, we embarked on a journey of the study of spiritual gifts. I don't believe that there's any more subject in the Bible that is more misunderstood, more misused and abused than this subject of spiritual gifts. There is such controversy and confusion, and over the next several weeks we want to clear up the confusion as it relates to these spiritual gifts. But you know what the good news is? That every one of us are a gifted child. We're one of God's children if you're saved by the grace of God, and therefore we've been gifted by God. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you have one of the most definitive portions of Scripture in all of the Bible as it relates to this matter of spiritual gifts. Now let's begin reading if we could quickly, and we'll start in verse number 1. He said, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He said, listen, I want you to have the right understanding of this matter of spiritual gifts. Now, we dealt with verses 2 and 3 last week. I want to pick up in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers or different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And so we began understanding this subject of spiritual gifts, that we've been gifted by God. We learned, first of all, the spiritual gifts distinguished. We distinguished between the gift of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit Himself is a gift given by God to every child of God. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your heart and your life and my heart and my life, and so we have God's gift of the Holy Spirit. But then the Spirit of God Himself gives us gifts to enable us to serve God. We talked about the difference between the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, and the graces of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, that the Spirit's fruit and the Spirit's gifts are not the same. One are virtues. They are the fruit, that ninefold cluster of fruit, the Christian character that is Christ manifests through our lives as we're filled with and in the Spirit of God and we're yielded to Him. His fruit is manifest in us. But then spiritual gifts, on the other hand, are divine enablements by which we serve God with our lives. And then we talked about the spiritual gifts described. We learned that they're not natural talents and gifts and abilities. Hey, you might have a natural gift or a natural ability or a natural talent, but that's not a spiritual gift. That was acquired at your first birth. Spiritual gifts are acquired at your second birth. And it's important to understand, I may be gifted naturally by God, but listen, every Christian, when you get saved, are gifted supernaturally by God. And then we talked about how that the gifts defined, and we described defined a spiritual gift as a God-given ability for spiritual service. And so, gifted believers are the means through which Christ functions through His body for the accomplishments of His purposes in the world. And then we saw the spiritual gifts differentiated. And we realized there are four different categories that all the spiritual gifts can sort of be placed into. We talked about special gifts such as apostles and prophets that existed in the early church for the founding of the church. And then we talked about speaking gifts that were for equipping of the saints. See those in Ephesians 4:11, and I'll talk about that as we talk about the special gifts and the speaking gifts and then the serving gifts of Romans 12 verses 6 through 8. That's for enabling. That's the enabling of the saints of God to carry out the work of the ministry and to do what God's called us to do. And then we learned that what we read about here in Corinthians, the sign gifts, those are authenticating gifts. They were given by God to those first century apostles and preachers to authenticate the New Testament message of the gospel that was going out into all the world, of Jesus Christ who died for man's sins, was buried, rose again the third day. God's making a change of dealing with men in law after 1500 years to now dealing with men in grace, and to authenticate the change and authenticate the New Testament, God allowed them, those men of God to be accompanied with these special sign gifts to authenticate their work. And now tonight, I want you to see number 5, spiritual gifts distributed. Spiritual gifts distributed. Aren't you glad that God gives gifts? Aren't you glad that if you're saved tonight, you have a gift? You may not know what that gift is. You may not have a clue what it is. But I'm telling you tonight that if you're saved tonight, you're a gifted child. Notice, if you would, the persons involved. The persons involved. Look, if you would, look again, if you would, in verse number 4. The latter part of it. Notice he says there, diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Would you underline Spirit right there in your Bible? The same Spirit. And it may come up on your notes, and you write it in your notes. All right, you know what? That's third person of the Trinity. Look down at verse number 5. The last phrase, but the same Lord. That's God the Son. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice, if you would, please, in verse number 6. Look at the middle part of the verse. He said, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. There's God the Father. Do you realize tonight that all three persons of the Trinity are involved in this matter of spiritual gifts? The phrase same, same Spirit, same Lord, same God. That reminds us that while there may be various gifts, the gifts are varied. There's many. They all have one source, and that's God. Every gift that is in the life of a child of God that we would designate a spiritual gift has its source in the divine Trinity, in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And so we recognize that a spiritual gift is supernatural in nature. It is a God-given ability to enable us to serve Him. It doesn't make us gifted in the sense of what we think is being gifted, such as being gifted or talented like we talked about. Maybe somebody's ability to play the piano, sing, gifted with their hands to do artwork, or maybe do craft work or whatever. Hey, there's all kinds. But the unsaved people can sing and play instruments and do crafts and be artists. The unsaved can do that. So natural talents are in the lives of both the saved and the unsaved. But only God's children have spiritual gifts. And so we recognize them as a capacity. Now get this, they are a capacity for spiritual usefulness. God has given you a capacity to make a difference and be used by Him for His glory and for the good of others. The Bible tells us we're complete in Him. The Bible tells us that we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so what that means is that God has fully equipped us for life. You see, listen to me, Christian. The same God that saved you is the same God who's equipped you. Amen. I want you to look at a verse with me real quick tonight. I don't have a lot of time, but I do want you to see this. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Would you turn there? 1 Peter chapter 4. You're going to find the big book of Hebrews. And go to the right, the book of James. One more block to the right. 1 Peter chapter 4. All right? And if you can't find it, just jot it down and look it up later. Maybe write it in the margin of your notes. Look what the Bible says, 1 Peter 4:10. Notice what he says. As every man hath received the gift. Now, let me help you understand that. Now, when he says the gift, that's not necessarily a particular gift, as it is the gift that God's given you. All right? Whatever that gift is. All right? So he goes on to say, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister. That word minister means to serve. Listen, every Christian is a minister. Now, I realize that I put down, if I'm filling out a form that is a government document or something like that, and they write down occupation, I write minister. Okay? They don't understand that good southern word called preacher. They don't understand that, okay? But when you write down minister, everybody gets that, all right? But let me just tell you something. I'm not the only one in the ministry. You're in the ministry tonight. I'm not the only one who's a minister. You are a minister. Every member of God's body is to be a minister serving Him. Now listen, I'm not saying that you have necessarily the same gift I have. We all have a gift or a combination of gifts, and therefore we are to minister, we're to serve in God's ministry. All right. Notice what he goes on to say in verse number 10. Even so, minister the same gift one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So here's what he said. We are stewards of God's gifts. The moment God gives you a gift, you're a steward of that gift. That means they belong to Him, but they're on loan to you. God has taken His gift and He's loaned it to you as a stewardship responsibility to develop that gift, to use that gift, to employ that gift in His ministry. Do you realize tonight that when you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will give an account for how we've used our spiritual gift? Whether or not we've developed that spiritual gift, whether or not we've employed that spiritual gift, whether or not we've been used by God in that spiritual gift in the lives of other people. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's in you. Listen, that means stir it up. That means develop it. That means use it. That means I'm to maximize it for God's glory. Now, the parable of the talents and the parable of the pounds go hand in hand to remind us that he's the owner of every talent. He's the owner of the pounds, so to speak, in life. And listen, I've just been given to them by God, and I'm responsible to Him for how I use my spiritual gift. So the persons involved are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The spiritual gifts find their source in God, but they've been distributed to us. Notice letter B, the plan involved. The plan involved. Look in verse number 4. He said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now watch this. Number one, they are distributed by the Holy Spirit. All right? The spiritual gifts are distributed by the Holy Spirit. He distributes them to the body. All right? Now the word diversity speaks of varieties or allotments, distributions. Okay? Now you say, preacher, why is that so important? Because do we all believe that every person that God's ever created is a unique individual? Okay? So while we may talk about the gift of helps or the gift of pastor teacher, we may talk about the gift of administrations or the gift of mercy, we may talk about all these gifts. But let me help you understand something. That God uniquely gifts every one of you. That God has a combination of gifts or a unique combining of these gifts together in your life so that you're as unique spiritually as your fingerprints physically. So, I might have the gift of mercy, you might have the gift of mercy, but our personality, our temperament, who we are and our experiences in life, God has custom tailored every gift that He's distributed uniquely for the Christian that is given to them, that they're given to by the Holy Spirit, so that you are a unique servant of God, that God has something for you that only you can do. So if you and I are sitting on the sidelines, you know what? We're allowing that uniqueness from the Lord to go to waste. And the church of Jesus Christ, His church, is suffering because you and I aren't using the gifts or gifts that's been distributed to us in the unique way that only we can. See, God only made one of you. And God's got a purpose and a mission for you. And it's as you yield your life to Him and say, you may never know what your gift is. You may take all the spiritual gift tests in the world and you may never know exactly what it is. But I can promise you this, as you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, you allow Him to direct your desires in the will of God and in the service of God, God will fit you into the ministry exactly where you need to be so that your giftedness benefits and blesses those around you. You may never hold an office in a church. You may never stand in front of a Sunday school class. You may never be voted on a church ballot. But that does not mean that what you bring to this church week in and week out is not employed by the Holy Spirit for our good and God's glory. You're important to Calvary Baptist Church. Greater than that, you're important to God. Greater than that, you're important to the Holy Spirit who has distributed a gift in your life that He wants you to use for Him. So notice, not only are they distributed by the Spirit, number two, they're assigned by the Son, by God the Son. Look at verse number 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So the Holy Spirit distributes the gift. So what happens is when a person gets saved, do we not believe that God knows the end from the beginning? Do you believe that God has a church for every Christian? I believe that. And there are some Christians right now that God has a church for them, but it hasn't been planted yet. Because he's waiting on some missionary like Brother Britton to answer the call of God and to receive the support from a local church to go there to plant that church in their town, their village, their city, wherever that is, so that they can have a church like you have a church. But God has uniquely gifted them for that moment when there's a body of believers in that city so they can employ that gift for God's good. I mean, for our good, for that church's good in God's glory. Now watch this very carefully because I want you to get it, okay? The Holy Spirit distributes the gift, but Jesus, God the Son, who is the head of His church, assigns the place of ministry. He puts you where He wants you to be. Isn't that powerful? You have an assignment from God. The word administration, so we get our English word deacon or servant from this word. Now the word deacon simply means servant. Okay? Where we get the idea that the word deacon has to do with authority or leadership, although they do exert leadership, or we have the idea of a board of deacons, that's far into the Bible. In the Bible, deacons were servants who assisted pastors in the local church to carry out the work of the ministry for the good of God's people. And thank God for every godly deacon at Calvary Baptist Church. I count it a privilege to serve with them. And the word deacon simply means servant. It has the idea of going through the dust. We could also use the word ministries. Not only did God make me a minister, He's given us a ministry. See, you think, and many times we think, that the only people that have a ministry is those who are called to preach. That's not true. No. God has a ministry, and He lets all of us be a part of it. And your ministry is just as important as my ministry. Spiritual gifts are not given as badges of privilege or prestige, but as tools for service. See, the Corinthians wanted to wear the badge. I speak in tongues. I interpret tongues. I have this gift. I have that gift. They thought it was to be a show off. God said, no, it's to make you a servant. God never gave us our gifts to show off. He gave us our gifts to serve others. And the different gifts are utilized in different manners or ministries within a local body of believers. Let me give you an illustration. There may be a dozen people in our church or more that have the gift of teaching. There may be 5 or 10 dozen that have the gift of teaching. Because in a ministry of our size, you know what we need? We need a whole lot of teachers. All right? But now watch this. The Holy Spirit gives you the gift of teaching. And the Lord Jesus assigns the place. It may be that you've been gifted by God to teach children or to work with teenagers or to teach adults. I knew when I was in Bible college that I was not called to be a student ministries director or a children's pastor. I knew that from the get-go. Okay? I just wasn't what God called me to do. I knew I was supposed to... And listen, my niche has always been preaching and teaching adults since the time I started preaching and teaching, which was... I saved at 17, called to preach at 18, and I was a youth director for 6 months. 6 months. And I wasn't a fit. I've always worked visitation teams, led nursing home ministries, worked with adult classes, and preached to adults and led adults my whole life. You know why? Because that's what God's given me to do. I can take the same person that may have a gift of teaching and put them with adults and they're fish out of water, but you stick them back there with them 4 and 5 year olds and they fit like a hand in glove. I mean, they're as happy as a bug in a rug. You know why? Because that's what God's gifted them to do. And God's assigned them to do. And He works through their desires to do that. You know what? The ways a gift can be ministered is as varied as the gifts themselves. The Spirit distributes the gift. The Lord assigns the gift or the place of ministry in which those gifts are to be ministered. And number 3, the Father empowers the gift. Look at verse number 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all and in all. Now, the diversities of operations has to do also with the administrations. You see, I have a gift, or you have a gift, and God puts us in a place to administer that gift, and then within that, He works within us in the operation of it, the effectiveness of it, so that He energizes us so that we can accomplish meaningful ministry for Him. Now you need to get this. This is important tonight. Okay? The word operations means energies. It means what is wrought. It means the effect produced. Now, do you realize you can utilize a natural talent in your own power? You can take the gift of vocal singing And you can take classes at a secular college, and you can learn voice, and you can perfect your voice in your own power. You can. You can sing beautifully like a canary. Or a crow. I like how crows sound. You got to have all the music. So you may have you can take your natural talents and make them better. You can do that in your own power. You can make yourself a better singer, a better pianist, a better this, a better that. But you can't utilize God's gifts in your power. You can't make them effective because they're supernatural. You cannot utilize a spiritual gift in natural power. Supernatural gifts demand a supernatural power. And God not only gives the gifts, He empowers the gifts. He enables the gifts. He makes them effective. Remember what the Lord said in John 15:5? For without me ye can do something. Is that what He said? No, He said nothing. What He's saying is you and me cannot do anything of spiritual value and effectiveness in our own power. Hey, I can get up and preach. You can get up and teach. You can do what you do in your own strength and your own power. But you know what God says? It avails nothing. But when I do it in God's power, it's effective. It makes a difference. So Sunday school teacher, teach on. And children's church worker, teach on. And shower of mercy, continue to show mercy. And the person of helps, and you just love to help people, you just keep on helping in the power of God. See, that's what I'm trying to say tonight. He's our enabler. He's our energizer. He's the one who makes us fruitful for Him. Listen, God has gifted you tonight. You are a gifted child. God the Holy Spirit sovereignly, okay? Sovereignly. Now, watch this. God doesn't choose who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. We make that decision. You following me? We make that decision. We choose whether or not we're going to heaven or going to hell. All right? That's we have a free will. But God has chosen who gets what gift. You and I don't have anything to do with that. He divides to every man severally as He will. And so God, the omniscient God, in His foreknowledge, knew that you would trust His Son as Savior. He predetermined what gift He would give you. He doesn't sit up in heaven and say, I think I'm going to give Wayne the gift of helps. And then I'm going to give Randy the gift of mercy. And I'm going to give Keith the gift of agitator. No, I'm kidding. You deserve that, by the way. Is that one of the gifts tonight? Brother Keith thinks it is, but I'm kidding. All right. Or give Brother Drew the gift of faith. Okay? He didn't just think that up when they got saved. No, from the very beginning of time, Drew, He knew what He was going to give you when you got saved. He knew how He would employ you. He knew what His desires and plans and wishes and goals for your life, Shane's life, or whoever's life is. But now watch this. It's up to you to stir it up. Amen. It's up to you to use it. God is sovereignly given it through His Holy Spirit. You're gifted by God. The Holy Spirit has an assignment. Excuse me. The Lord Jesus has an assignment for you in His local church. It may not be a ballot position where you're voted on. It may not be one where you're standing in front of a class. It may not be one where you're visible at all. But He knows that you're the one that He's made you to have this gift because this is how He wants to use you to make all of us blessed. And when you're not using your gift, we're not blessed like we ought to be. And it's God the Father, as you yield yourself to Him, that energizes that and makes you effective for Him. So the gifts, now this, and I'm closing, are not to be enjoyed. Doesn't say I can't enjoy them. But that wasn't the purpose. They're to be employed in the work of God. They're not for my personal enjoyment. I love to preach, Brother Vernon. I know you love to preach. I know you. I'd rather preach than eat. My wife can attest to that. They're close. But I like. Okay? But now watch this. as much as I love it, as much as I enjoy it, that's not why God gave it to me. God gave me a gift. And have you ever noticed that God uses some of the most unlikeliest of people to be preachers? It always shocks people when I get around anybody that went to high school with me and says, I can't believe you're a preacher. And you know what I say? I can't either. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Because I sure don't deserve it. I'm the most unlikeliest of candidates. But God uses who He wants to, where He wants to, because He knows where we fit. And when we're employed for Him, we enjoy serving Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Good.
Let's discover and employ our gifts through this study.
Amen.
Let's do it together. Let's journey through the Word of God together. All right, let's stand to our feet.